Good morning, Colorado Springs, and welcome to another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. I'm your host, Angela Jones of Brighter Day Law, and today we have a very special guest with us, my personal assistant, Emily Burris. Welcome, Emily.
Hey, Angela, so happy to be here.
Yeah, I know you're like on the front line today because you're actually always behind the scenes, helping put this together.
That is fair. Yes. So it's nice to be in the hot seat.
Right. Well, you're fine with being
yes.
in the hot seat. I know it can be a little bit nerve-wracking when you get thrust out front.
Yes, but fun in a good way.
Yeah. So you have been working with us at Brighter Day Law now for what?
Since September 1st, yeah.
Okay.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I know. It seems like forever and like in the best ways. And so, I mean, as you're aware, because you've organized this for a couple different people, we like to spotlight those of us at Brighter Day Law so that people get to know who we are and what we're all about. I know you provided me with a little bio, and I think I'm just looking over this and highlighting this. I mean, I know you were born and raised in Tennessee, and you like to get back to Nashville. Who doesn't? Just came from there this week.
The best food ever.
Right. Well, so where in Nashville do you like to go for food? What are your favorites?
Man, there are so many good ones. Hattie B's Hot Chicken,
of course.
Honestly. Yeah. And then, so my family's in Hendersonville. It's about 20 minutes outside of Nashville, and there are a couple of places just growing up that our family always went. So love going to those. One of them, it's like a cute house that's been redone. Total chick food, but great Southern food, and it's called the Chocolate Covered Strawberry. Okay. So my mom and I, that was like our spot that we always went to.
I've never been there. How long's that been there?
It's been there probably just under 10 years, but it's been a while. Yeah.
That's like brand new.
Because once you move away, it's hard to keep track of like, when did this go up?
What happened?
Yes.
Yeah. So you ever go to Demos is up there?
Oh my goodness. Yes. The best sick food ever. It's such comfort food.
It really is. And okay. So like I'm telling you, so, when I was sick, the first time I ever had Demos is, Wendy Rutherford, who is one of our contract attorneys, and she went, I had hurt my back. I was exercising and hurt my back, and so I had to be laid up. And she was like, I'm going to bring you a meal, of course, because in the South, that's what you do.
Let me comfort you.
Absolutely. And so she just went by, and I think the main was like, you know, grilled chicken or something like, or half chicken, something like that. But she got me this side of spaghetti with meat sauce. That spaghetti with meat sauce. I literally have traveled to Nashville and now actually Demos's downtown is closed down. So the only one still open is in Hendersonville.
In Murfreesboro.
Is it open again?
Mm-hmm. I went when I was there last.
Oh, it wasn't open the last time I was there.
Okay.
Well, I was actually just there this past weekend, but only for like a day and a half. And I didn't go to, but I mean, like the last time we were there and when I took the firm there this summer, only the one in Hendersonville was open.
Okay.
So, but now it's good that Murfreesboro is back open.
It is really good.
So good.
So every time I'm like a minor cough, anything, like I'm feeling under the weather, their soup, their chicken and wild rice. And their bread is so good. Like you can't beat it.
Have you ever had the brown butter spaghetti?
My parents tried to remake it. They like it so much. My dad was like, what is brown butter and why does it taste like this?
Right, right.
Like, you're going to get like thick, Dad, if you keep eating this like a couple of times a week like you are.
But, no, yeah, it is so awesome. So I love Demos's. So that's my favorite thing about Hendersonville, actually.
Forget the lake or the people, the
food. Whatever.
It's true. Honestly, yeah. Could talk about food all day long.
Well, what about your, and when did you come to Colorado Springs?
So I moved to Colorado Springs originally I think it was 2018, and the Lord had really placed on my heart this certain ministry here, and so had given me a kind of crazy dream about it, and I was just like, no, like that's wild, and he just would not stop talking to me about it, and so right. I was like, finally, you know, whatever, I'll apply for this non-paid intern position was what he was telling me. And I was like, at the time, I'm 27, about to be 28. I was like, no way am I doing a non-paid internship. I've had a salary paid position since I graduated college. Like, I'm, you know, I'm in a business track. I make good money. Like, I'm not doing it. And mm-hmm. I just remember he kept being like, just be obedient. Just, you know, just apply. And so I was kind of rebellious in my application, and I put things in it that I thought they would kind of be like, oh, she doesn't take this seriously at all. Well, come to find out, now one of my friends was the person that was over the program at the time, and they're like, she's hilarious, we want her for two terms. And so it totally backfired. I got hired on the spot and moved here shortly after.
Oh, that's so funny. So, what's that ministry?
It's John and Lisa Bevere's ministry. It's called Messenger International.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. And I think John and Lisa Bevere have gone back to Nashville or moved to Nashville?
I know. We did a weird swap. So I came from Nashville to here, worked for them for a while, ended up working for university in between, mm-hmm. still very connected with them. But yeah, they just this year, all of the four sons, apart from one, have mm-hmm. all moved with them to Nashville. So it's kind of crazy. We did a reverse. Okay. Like, I move here, they move there, so.
Yeah, so that's very interesting. And, you know, mm-hmm. that's like, you know, in terms of our firm, that's where we've got sort of a, you know, we're moving in the direction of opening a sister firm.
Yes.
In Nashville. And, you know, we have those roots in Nashville, too.
We do. With lucky
University
us.
Of Tennessee mm-hmm. and lived in Nashville.
Roll Tide, though.
Yeah, right. No. I had forgotten that about
We agree that. About so many things. That's just one we can't agree on. That's okay.
I mean, whatever.
Talk to David. Talk to our national championships.
Oh my gosh. And you know, I'm going to go into a Broncos game, you know, this weekend, even though it's going to be freezing, because, you know, I get being a diehard fan.
Yes. Through the ups and downs, mostly downs. But
well, you know, it's there's seasons. There's seasons of everything. Right. Any given Sunday.
Everyone just says, oh, it's a building season. I was like, that's been like 20 years you've been building.
I mean, there's going to come a time when something's going to come to roost for Alabama. I don't know if that'll happen in my lifetime.
She's
but
praying for it.
That's my prayer. That's my starter prayer every
Protect
Saturday.
Jesus. I don't know. They look like Jesus' favorite team. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I'd like to see the blood roll on that one. That's all I'm saying.
Different kind of roll tide.
Exactly. You know, I mean, some people would think they may have made a pact with the devil. Now, I'm not saying that.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Those are some fighting words.
Well, I've heard it said about, you know, certain NFL players as well, but whatever.
All right. God bless.
Probably just jealousy.
Probably.
Okay, so you moved to Colorado Springs, and you've been here since 2008, mm-hmm. and so, well, obviously your time with Messenger International, mm-hmm. you finished your internship, and then?
So I was hired before the end of my second term internship, mm-hmm. and it was kind of a crazy turn of events how all of that went down. They had actually talked to me about having like a full-time role before I took the internship, and it fell through, and it was crazy because the Lord was like, no, you're going to be, you know, on staff here. And I was like, what was that? You know, that was right? rude. And they hired someone who was 18. And at the time I was 28. Mm. And so I remember the Lord saying, like, I want you to serve and, like, you know, do things for her behind the scenes. Basically, I, you know, helped her with the job, and, you know, no one really saw that. And God was like, within, you know, this time, like, you'll be hired on. And so I was like, okay, I want to, you know, be doing this for the right reasons. And I want to have, you know, a heart that really is just after the Lord and being obedient. And honestly, I learned and was taught so much in that season. And God just did moved so much in my life. And I would do it again. It's one of those things, like, during it, you're like, get me out of this. What are you doing?
Right.
And then you look back and you're like, oh, that was such a precious season.
Right.
And so, yeah, just the way God, like, showed up, provided, the lessons I learned during that time, it was priceless. So yeah. It meant a lot.
Well, and I think it's funny, it's very Southernism to refer to something that God does as rude, but whatever.
It was rude. It happened, and even the boss, he was like, honestly, if you don't want to do the internship after this happened and fell through, like, I get it. And, you know, he was like, have a lot of respect for you taking it after the fact. Like, can you lower yourself and humble yourself to serve now?
So, right.
Yeah.
And so now you're, you've taken the job with us
yes.
here, which I really appreciate. And it's, you know, kind of a three-quarters role because you're mm-hmm. studying to become a realtor.
Yes. Yeah.
And how's that going?
It is going. It's one of those things that, man, I always had heard, like, oh, this is tough. And I mean, testing is not like anyone, well, maybe some people's favorite thing. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite mm-hmm. thing. And I'm an okay test taker, but it is tedious and it takes a while. And so carving up that time and just making sure that you're staying after it after, you know, so many months, you're like, okay, I gotta keep after this, or done with work, gotta go mm-hmm. take a test, or the weekend, like gotta fit a couple of these in. So, yeah, it's going, but it's slower than I would like.
mm-hmm. Well, and what a lot of people don't realize is you're actually, it's an exception to the requirement to have a law license to practice law. And yeah. so you're actually learning to practice law in this respect. I mean, you're advising mm-hmm. and people about contracts, writing up contracts, and, you know, and then assisting them in fulfilling those. And so there's sure. there's actually a lot to know, a lot that can get messed up.
There sure is.
And then the whole personal aspect of it mm-hmm. and, you know, and then most people are self-employed when they're a realtor. So there's a lot to it.
There's a lot of moving parts that you don't recognize. You're like, I can show up. I can, you know, talk to people. I can sell a house.
I love looking at houses. What? Yes. Why shouldn't I be a realtor?
I know, the Elle Woods of real estate. No.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So in, you know, just in your personal life, so you have a lot of friends and you guys do things together.
Yes. So my roommate and I think we've shared some of this with you, but yeah, mm-hmm. we weekly have a small group in our house, and it's kind of like under the umbrella of our church. Like it's a small group mm-hmm. that's, you know, faith-based, but sometimes it's just, you know, oh, let's do a family dinner. And so we have between usually like 20 and 40 people in our house oh, wow. every Wednesday. Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people to fit in our, yeah, our little four-bedroom living room. So uh-huh. it's a ton of fun. But I think, you know, people truly, I've lived, you know, here, I've lived in Tulsa, I've lived in Nashville. But you, the older you get, the more you realize just people make a place. Like, you know, even if there's not a ton of things to do or whatever it is, like people can make or break somewhere. Like living in Oklahoma, I'm sorry, people that are from Oklahoma live in Oklahoma and love it, but it was just not my thing. But the people there made that season, and it was so sweet. And looking back, I was like, oh, the community was the day and night difference in right, right. that being an enjoyable season and time of life where you can be in, like, you know, the most happening place on earth. You could live in mm-hmm. Disney World, but if you don't have a great community around you, it's going to be hard to have that be, like, a long-term enjoyable place to be. So
yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, I mean, we're really made for relationship in mm-hmm. that, you know, one of the things when we were moving a lot with the military that I noticed is, you know, one time particularly stood out that we went to Kansas, Fort Leavenworth, and God we bless. Had, I know, right?
Windmills for days.
yeah, absolutely. That drive through Kansas here, especially from Tennessee.
It's torture.
It's the worst. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of maybe an hour outside of Kansas City.
Okay.
But on the base itself, they had built some brand new housing. Mm-hmm. Actually, the brand new housing was right next to the cemetery. And my husband used to joke, it's great. The neighbors are quiet. you know.
They don't have much to say.
I know. But most of the housing that our class, because we went there for his CGSC, mm-hmm. And most of the people in our class and even in, you know, just the community that I'd go to the gym with or play bunco with or, you know, what have you, were not in the new housing because there mm-hmm. wasn't that much. And on our little cul-de-sac in the new housing was nice. I mean, there were, mm-hmm. you know, several people in there, but it wasn't, you know, they were big and, you know, really pretty self-contained. Like, if right. you didn't want to interact with your neighbors, you never had to.
Right.
You could just drive through the cul-de-sac, wave, and not worry about it. You know, park in your garage and
next to the cemetery.
That's it, you know. But we had garages and everything and our mm-hmm. own little fenced yard in the back, and so you really didn't have to interact with neighbors.
Sure.
But everybody else, like especially in the super old stuff, like mm-hmm. there was, I mean, you had to park and you had to walk in and the porches were shared and, mm-hmm. You know, especially when they were run down and they were kind of janky, nobody wanted to stay in. So they were always barbecuing outside together.
Right.
And they were just, and they bonded.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like that. The hardship of the living environment made it,
you're
you know.
You're in a crap hole too? Well, let's bond over some food, yeah.
Right, right. And so and that's really, you know, and I think that's very interesting. It's like, so you can live in a really nice place
mm-hmm.
and not cultivate the relationships
right.
and, you know, kind of be lonely or isolated the whole, entire time.
Right, really we shortchange yourself.
Yeah, we had both, you mm-hmm. know, so we were lucky. But, you know, or, you know, you can have not so great a place to live mm-hmm. and be around people who care about you and who are doing community with you.
Right.
That's and it really important. Makes a humongous difference. And that's kind of like, even at the law firm, I think that's, you know, people who come in and work with us, mm-hmm. they're kind of going through a yucky time.
For sure.
But, you know, we try to be there as an extension of their community to be, you know, kind of doing life with mm-hmm. them at that time. And even dealing with, you know, hundreds of cases where people are going through hard times and they're not always able to put their best foot forward.
Right.
You know, we internally, you know, do that.
If you're staying in community. Yeah.
Yeah. We're doing that same thing all the time. Mm-hmm. And so,
does a great job of that.
What's that?
So honestly, I've seen the firm do such a good job of that. Not only the team, mm-hmm. which is where it starts, mm-hmm. because if there's disunity there, it's going to be felt through all the interactions right. with people, you know, be it the lawyers or, you know, the legal assistants or, you know, paralegals. But yeah, everyone, I feel like truly really does love each other, get along really well. And it's so felt in supporting one another. And then also the people that we interact with and are coming alongside them in some of the darkest hours of, you know, their life. I love that you had gotten, you know, felt like the Lord had given you brighter days. And I feel like it's such a fitting.
I didn't feel like it. It straight up happened.
That smacked me in the face.
That's how that happened. And we'll get into that story another time because this is about you. But yeah, like it's important. I mean, mm-hmm. and you know, you're absolutely a perfect addition for the time period that you're here. I would of course keep you forever. But we'll see how that goes. You're listening to KPPF. This is A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. I'm Angela Jones, and our special guest today is Emily Burris. Okay, so you've got the going over there. You talk about skiing and hiking. Now, where'd you mm-hmm. learn to ski growing up in Tennessee?
It's a good question. My parents are like, listen, this is an expensive hobby. And so before we take all of our hoodlum kids and like push them down a mountain in Aspen, we're going to make sure that they know what they're doing.
Right.
So I don't know if you ever had been to Paoli Peaks in Indiana. It's all ice, everything. So I was like, this, if you're going to ski or make it or break it, you're going to know there because it's way harder than it is here, honestly.
Really? Okay.
But yep, they gave us ski school. They're like, we're going to go have fun. Hopefully you learn how to ski. And then we honestly had the hookups, and we didn't know anything about skiing besides Paoli Peaks mm-hmm. or like what's, you know, the nice place to go skiing or, you know, where's like the, right. you know, like here we're like, oh, Vail, Beaver Creek, Snowmass, Aspen. So, but we had no idea. Like it was what it was. We thought right. everywhere in Colorado was probably like this.
Right.
But super fortunate. My dad's uncle, so my great uncle, mm-hmm. he had a ski in, ski out condo on Snowmass, which is in Aspen. And so after we had a couple places or times at Paoli Peaks in Indiana where they were like, okay, y'all don't totally suck. We can go here as a family. So we started going, I think like every other year from the time I was in middle school.
Oh, wow.
So we would come with our parents' friends and their kids were all our ages. And so we'd just group up. And if we'd do maybe one day in ski school, but then after that, we'd just spend the days hiking up and going down Blacks as like these middle school kids, early high school. I'm really lucky we didn't get hurt, but yeah, it was a ton of fun.
So do you get all the, like the Epic Pass and the,
honestly,
what's the other one?
Everyone loves like it's Epic versus Icon. I think Epic is the way to go. In my opinion, I had the Epic Pass last year, but I had it was only like a certain number of days so you can pick. And I have not gotten it this year. I should have. Yeah. I was like, I don't know how everything's going to play out with COVID. Cause the year before I had gotten one and I didn't even live at the time I was in Tulsa and it was like for a certain number of days and they were like, well, we'll credit for your next season. Cause you can't use it. Cause all the mountains got closed down. So
no, but I think Epic's it's the way to go. I mean, other than no snow November, you know, I think it's going to be okay this year.
I sure hope
we've been out. I don't mean we as in me because I grew up in Florida and
tons of skiing there.
Water ski, and I don't even do that very well, you know. So, but you know, I always used to like to tube or hydro slide or go to the beach and you know, that type of thing, but. No, my kids, I think, got the Epic Pass because we get the military
discount. It is the way to do it. Yeah.
And then Chloe was able to get my youngest was able to get the Icon also from her school. So it was some kind of deal. So it was like, I don't really know exactly what the deal is, but she's at Fort Collins.
Well, some strings.
And so, no, I think it's just like a student discount right. or something.
Makes me want to go back to school.
I know, right? But yeah, so she gets like, I think she's got pretty much, if not every mountain mm-hmm. and every lift covered. She's got most.
Girl got the hookups.
She does. So, love yeah, it. So we're going, we were in, I guess we went Thanksgiving weekend. To
the Vale,
yeah,
right outside.
It was Vale, mm-hmm. and then I think we're going to Breck.
Okay,
this weekend.
I love Breckenridge.
Yeah, we've got this little thing where it's kind of crazy. We bought this timeshare when the kids were little, and
you know, you had a timeshare. You're like the
main, that's again
the main
a
of my
whole
existence.
Other story. My husband.
Oh, it all makes sense.
Got us involved in this timeshare thing. But the great part about it is it's not the timeshare itself. That's mm-hmm. kind of a pain.
Right.
But what it has is a part of this timeshare situation mm-hmm. is you can get, like, bonus time or getaways.
Sure.
And so, like, for a week in a, you know, studio at, mm-hmm. at Breckenridge, we can get that for, like, $400. So, like, so that's one night.
Right.
If you go to a
yeah,
in a hotel,
anywhere
right?
else.
So
especially
we'll,
Breckenridge.
So we'll get them like on, get them to check in on like Saturday, and mm-hmm. then you check out on Saturday, and then so it's kind of, you know,
blurring the
goes
lines
over, right? And so she'll go and you know she'll go and do the like you know go all day Saturday, check in, spend the night Sunday, doesn't have to go back till school till Tuesday, you know,
that works
is
out
done
well, yeah.
right? And then Danny will go and kind of like oh I don't have work on Tuesday, so I'll go. You know, Tuesday, spend the night, Wednesday, come mm-hmm. back. So they kind of split it up. And
it's a sweet deal.
That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's only a couple hours away. Honestly, that I think that
right.
and Keystone are the two, like, mm-hmm. closest to us. Mm-hmm. So it's just so easy to hop over to those on the weekend.
Yeah, Breck is, but, you know, Aspen was a lot. Not Aspen, but Vale was further.
Vale is a little bit further. My personal favorite, just because I grew up on it, mm-hmm. was Snowmass, but it's like 4.5 hours to get there.
I don't
there.
Think I've been to Snowmass.
It's worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I have not.
Impartial.
I haven't been out there, but I mean, we've been trying to do more staycations, like in terms mm-hmm. of inside Colorado.
Right.
And so that the list for like Steamboat and Snowmass, and mm-hmm. we've been down to Telluride.
Okay,
that's cool.
Have you been to Telluride? Mm-mm.
Gotta go to Telluride.
Okay,
it is just
list.
A neat little town, and then Ouray is right near there.
Okay,
if you like to do like hikes and you know, do you do the 14ers?
So I love hikes, and I'm not afraid of like mm-hmm. a hard hike. The one I've probably done the most is the incline. I think I've done it 8 or 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, at least it's like over somewhat quickly.
Yeah.
I just don't know that I would enjoy, I really love hiking, but like for 8 or 9 hours, I'm not sure that I want to commit that much time to do it, to be like, so I haven't done a 14er yet. I mean, it's on the list and I want to,
yeah.
but I'm like, I like the sweet, you know, like give me like a 3-4 yeah. hour hike at most where we, you
right.
know, enjoy it or like something that's a challenge, but that doesn't right. take 8 or 9 hours because... That to me just seems like a lot can go wrong. I also had a friend that got stuck on the mountain and had to get like life lighted out
wow.
doing, I think it was Pikes Peak. And so it was like one of the first friends I made when I moved here.
Like the
and
backside just, of Pikes Peak?
Yes. And so they were like, it shut down. We didn't know how to get like down. Mm-hmm. It started snowing. You know, we had feet of snow. And so they had to life light us out. Mm-hmm. So I think that stuck in my mind too, where it's like, I would so somehow manage to be that girl that got stuck in some kind of torrential downpour or something. And
no, it was the fellow that had to fight some kind of mountain lion or something that kind of did it in for me for hiking Pikes Peak.
Right.
Like literally this, I don't remember.
It's just not worth that to me.
I don't remember if it was a mountain lion or it was something. It was some wild
yeah.
animal. It was some wild cat.
Like a lynx.
Anyway.
Or
yeah, like something. And the thing was coming
you
after him and
lions.
He got into like basically a fist fight with this animal and he had to defend himself for like
right.
punching the mountain lion.
Like, no one's going to believe
this. I mean,
this.
He's covered with scratches, and I don't even know. I don't, he might have had shot, he might have shot him. I can't remember all the details. Mm-hmm. I just know, I'm like, you know, bears, mountain lions.
Is it worth your life? Maybe
walking
not.
Walking and spending the night outside. You know, I love not camping, personally.
Glamping.
Right. You know, as long as I'm not having to sleep outside on the ground.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I like my bed, too.
So. Yeah. So, but to this Life Flight situation, it's not exactly the same, but that's basically why I don't ski. Because we were in Germany when my kids first learned to ski, and they have, you know,
the MWR like
stuff. Right. And we went, and I was on this little bunny slope. Mm-hmm. And I figured out I'm actually really good at skiing, but I can't stop. Like, so I'm bad at stopping.
That's problematic.
That's hugely problematic, especially because one of my our neighbors next door, she had been skiing like competitively. You know, like I don't know that she was in the Olympics, but it was like, you know,
really solid skier.
Really solid skier, and we were the same age, and she skied over a mogul and got a spiral fracture to her leg and could, you know, like to her tibia, and couldn't walk, you know, without assistance, crutches, something. You're right.
So if this expert can't do that,
I'm kind of like,
it's enough for me.
I know. That's what I figured. I was like, you know, I can definitely hang out by the fire.
Enjoy some hot chocolate. Read a book.
Enjoy all kind of things, but absolutely not going to do that. But we actually did a really cool hike. My sister and I did a really cool hike above Dillon.
Okay, yeah, you and Kara hike a lot.
Yeah, and, you know, the lake there is really beautiful, but it was just above where the outlets are, and it only took us, like, 2 hours, so if you're out that way, I'll get you the name
of
it.
Put it on my list.
I can't remember the name of it. So, well, okay, I think we have just a couple minutes, and so I don't know, what's something super interesting about you that I don't yet know that would
final
be fun
remarks.
To share?
Okay, let's see. Couple fun facts. Let's see, I used to have a lifted and loud Chevy pickup truck, which is my favorite vehicle I've owned to date.
Really?
Most people don't think, they're like, you're just some bougie princess that I'm like, no, I'm really not. No. I was raised in Nashville and I have this whole other
redneck
side, I guess.
Bougie princess.
Yeah, I can shoot guns. I'm actually a pretty good shot. my grandfather used to be Dolly Parton's dentist. So that's a fun fact when it's always like the two truths and the lie.
Yeah. I love Dolly Parton.
I know. Who doesn't love Dolly?
She's amazing.
My sister named her dog, she's actually about to have a child, but her dog was like the first baby, grandbaby. Her name's Dolly. So in honor, I'm trying to think of something
My best
else.
Friend's sister's name is Dolly.
It's so sweet.
I know.
I'm like, it's a darling name, super Southern. So those are a couple of fun facts.
Well, that's super cool. Well, we appreciate you joining us here today and, you know, all the efforts that you go into making the brighter day in the neighborhood what it is. I mean, everything from, you know, coordinating with our guests and bringing all the little gift bags and, you know, the filming and coordination. It's really, really appreciated. Absolutely would not happen without you.
Oh, thank you, Angela. I love it. I'm glad I get to be a part of it.
Me too. Me too. And I'm glad you have been able to be a part of the Brighter Day team.
So am I.
All right. Well, join us right here at this time, same time and same station each Sunday. And especially during this holiday season, wishing you the very best with your family and that you stay safe and warm. And until next time, have a brighter day.